Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and this is part of Sermon on the Mount, verse number 9, and after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that as we take another look at our duty in prayer, our opportunity to talk to you, the fact that you want to hear from us, that prayer is asking. And I pray this morning as we ask that you would meet here with us, that you'd make us what you want us to be. There'd be no part of us holding you back, that we'd be all in for the things of the Lord. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the book of Luke, in chapter 11, we have the disciples saying, and it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus in Luke chapter 11 used these same words that we see in Matthew chapter 6 in teaching the disciples how to pray. And the last time we talked about this subject, we talked about the routine of prayer. Jesus said, when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray. He knows you're going to pray. We need to be people of prayer. When you pray. So we know we have a routine of prayer that every one of us every day ought to be talking to the Lord. The routine of prayer, and then he said, the relationship of prayer. He said, Our Father. You want to remember Old Testament. Obviously, Jesus is talking to Old Testament Jews, and we are obviously moving into the New Testament. But the reality of it is that those were Old Testament people, as you recognize them. They didn't recognize a relationship with God Almighty. That was something new to them. And I don't know if there are, when I was younger, older people would intimidate me. So if I had a buddy or something and it was his dad, I'd say, man, your dad, he scares me. And he'd say, what are you talking about? Come on, let's go talk to him. And so what they would want to do is they'd want you to know their father like they knew their father. He's not this big, scary guy. My father-in-law, Bob Lovett, used to intimidate me. He's bigger than me, and he was a president of a corporation, and I always saw him as someone that, you know, he intimidated me. And so the intimidation was blown away one time when we were over there. It was before Emily and I got married, and we're sitting at the kitchen table, and we decided we were going to play cards. We played Go Fish, okay? And we're sitting there and playing fish. And I'd ask for a number or something, and he would say, go fish, you know? And I'm thinking, this guy's not so scary, you know? So the reality of it is a lot of times we have some misconceptions of individuals. And the Old Testament Jews, they had some misconceptions of God the Father, and Jesus wanted them to know he can be your heavenly Father. You can have a relationship with him. When you pray, say, Our Father, and recognize that it's a term of endearment. And if you study it a little bit, he's really saying, Papa, Daddy. And we've broken down the relationship of God. He's not that big guy that we have an arrangement with. I recognize there needs to be some fear and admiration of him, but you can have a personal relationship with him in prayer, and it's an awesome thing. So when you pray, the routine of prayer, the relationship of prayer, and then the responsibility of prayer we talked about. And it's the word was us and our. A lot of times in the book of James, it talks about selfish praying. You want to be careful about what you're asking from God. And so if you will, let's go to the book of James this morning. We'll spend the rest of our time there. James chapter 1. And the book of James is, the purpose of it is recognized in James 1. If you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 1306. Page 1306. James chapter 1 and verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. So who's it to? How did they get scattered? To the 12 tribes, the Jews, obviously the 12 tribes of Israel, that are scattered abroad. What happened? Well, obviously, they were in the Jerusalem church. Persecution came. When persecution came, they ran for their lives, but they took their faith with them. So now they're spread out, which was a wonderful thing. Persecution looked bad, but it worked out great, because a lot of times what happens is we get so happy in our church, we just stay right here while the world outside is dying and going to hell. We're having too much fun. Sometimes a good old-fashioned church split would help. You say, oh, Stan, you can't mean that. Well, I don't want it to happen, but the reality of it is God uses persecution at times to scatter the flock, but you keep preaching the gospel. And so the Jews were scattered. They were sharing their faith, but they were no longer in one place. And James felt led through the Spirit of God to write to those folks, and that's what the book of James in that letter is about. And through persecution, they were scattered. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, really, ask prayer is asking. So what we could say is, if any of you lack wisdom, let him pray to God, is how it could be read. That giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth, doesn't hold back, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I believe there's some principles outlined in the Bible about prayer that need to take place if you want your prayers to be answered. I don't know about you. I want my prayers answered. Do you? Let's say that. I want my prayers answered. One more time. I want my prayers answered. Okay? Well, for that to happen, one thing is we need to ask in faith. Now, that's not saying, I believe. It's not that type of thing that we're talking about. It's in faith, meaning I'm a Christian. It's the number one thing in my life. There's no doubt in my life that God Almighty is in heaven, that Jesus Christ gave his life for me on the cross. He took my place, and that's who I am. That's what I believe, and I will never go back. Amen. That's asking in faith. Meaning a believer in Jesus Christ. That's who I am. So when I come before the Lord, it's not so that, hey, big guy, give me something that I want. You know, I know that you're a God of love. No, you have to be a child of God. You ask in faith. Not only do you need to ask in faith, the Bible also says, David says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Ooh, already like that. In other words, if we are practicing something in our life that we know to be wrong, iniquity is sin, if I regard sin in my heart, if I protect sin in my heart, if I am practicing sin in my heart and my behavior, the Lord will not hear me. That will shut you off from a relationship with God Almighty. So the principles are taught in the Bible. That's just two references, but the reality of it is I need to be a child of God, and I need to be in a right relationship with him, or my prayer life is in trouble. And that's what's taking place in that James is outlining in that. So now, if you will, go to James chapter 4. While you're going to James chapter 4, James writes to these Christians who are experiencing persecution, problems in their spiritual growth, problems in their relationships, problems in their speech. In chapter 3, talks about the tongue. Problems in separation from the world in chapter 4. Now, when I start talking, as the pastor of this church, and I've been here for 25 years, I know from experience, when I start talking about separation from the world, boy, that's preaching uphill. Now, what I mean by that is, at times, Emily and I will discuss how church went and all that. There are times when I am preaching, and this may be one of those Sundays, where it just seems like I'm pushing against something, it's not going well, the people. Sometimes we're just laughing and enjoying the Spirit, and it's such a good service, and we say amen, we go home, and there's a little bit of a jump in your step, and you say, oh, this is so good. What do you think? I know, embarrassed to death, aren't you? Yes,
It's, you've never been more proud than you are right now.
Yes.
So, and there's wonderful times. Other times you can just tell that something isn't right and you're pushing hard and it's going hard. And those are days where I'll go home and I'll say, baby, I was preaching uphill today. It was just going hard. When you talk about separation from the world for Christians, you're preaching uphill. Because in every church, Cornerstone Baptist being no exception, there are people in every church that just want to live their life both ways. They want what the world has to offer, and they want what Christ has to offer, and they refuse to choose. And I'm telling you, Christ demands that we make a choice. And it can't be either or whatever. My son's favorite word at 7 years old now is whatever. Well, sad to say, he got that from his father. We went to camp recently, and I'm digressing here. And so we're trying to teach him how to shoot. He's using his sister's BB gun. He's only seven, but you got to start him early. And so he's holding that gun up, and I said, Cody, you're not holding it right. You're not seeing the sights. And he touches it off, and the BB goes, and it's not close. And I said, that wasn't right. Whatever, he says. You know. So those you know what? God's not laughing as Christians, when we say whatever, he's not impressed. So in James chapter 4, he says some bold statements that are trouble. Before we get into that, we're going to go in James chapter 4 and verse 4, but I want to set this up a little bit. Is that in the Bible, our relationship with Christ is painted very much like our relationship as husband and wife. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the mystery of Christ and the church being compared to a husband and wife, and we preach that at weddings at times. And so the reality of it is that a relationship with guys with your wife and ladies with your husband is very much like our relationship with God Almighty. And so a lot of times when I'm asking for something from Emily, literally, I'm praying to Emily. You say, not really. You are. Prayer is asking. So when I say, honey, old school, when you went to ask a question, you got to be older than me to remember this, but you'd pray tell. You remember that? Pray tell. Okay. So what was it? Would you tell me? Pray tell. Well, pray tell, honey, would you make me a sandwich? Well, if I've been spending the day before all day in the hot tub with Juanita, okay? Now, I use Juanita because I don't know any Juanita. And if you're listening to this on the internet and you are a Juanita, I apologize. But that I get it from the Andy Griffith Show, Barney, always talking on the phone to Juanita. Anyway, so, but, you know, it changes everything if I've been unfaithful. And she might say, well, why don't you ask Juanita for that? Okay? So, I'm in my office yesterday, and so I said to Emily, she's in an adjacent room, and if you've been in my house, you come over sometime, but my office sits there, and she's over in her craft room there, and there's a doorway between, and so we can visit at times and stuff. So I said, so I got a question for you, hon. I said, so if I just met with another woman just once a week, would that be okay? And she looked at me like I had three heads, you know. And I said, okay, well, how about once a month? What, is that okay? And then she's still looking at me, and every 90 days, how's that? And she said, are you telling me you're having an affair? And I said, no, I'm just asking if it would matter. She said, well, I don't think I could trust you. I said, it wouldn't be a problem. I'd be telling you what I'm doing. You could trust me. I've told you. She says, no. That's not going to work. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's start at verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Remember, he's talking to Christians scattered abroad here. What's with the war and killing? Ye lust and have not and kill, and ye desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your asking for selfish reasons. Verse 4, this is it. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that your friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. I got a question for you. How's the affair going? He says, Stan, what do you mean? What James is drawing the example of is for the Christian that's running around with the world is having an affair on God. I have to submit to you, Christian, every one of us have been guilty of an affair. And I'm not happy to say that. Because whenever we decide that I know this is wrong, but I really want to do this. I just jumped in the hot tub with Juanita. You're supposed to laugh, okay? You missed your cue. Okay, get ready. I just jumped in the hot tub with Juanita. There you go. This is a great church. But you know what? It's really not a laughing matter, is it? It isn't. Because it breaks God's heart. Because he says, remember last time we talked about this subject, as our Heavenly Father, you coming to him and I am his child, what he wants is he wants to say yes. His desire is to give us all good things. And this isn't a name it, claim it, happy thing type of thing. But I'm telling you, as a dad, I've got kids. I've watched them grow up. I'm watching kids grow up. When they come to me, my first thought is, I hope I can say yes. Because I want them to have all the good things in life. But I do know this, if they're not being obedient, if they've done something wrong, if I've told them, because you've done that, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to cut this off. And then I can say for a week, I've told the story before, my brother and I, Floyd's in heaven now, but he and I didn't get along when we were young. We fought a lot, okay? One of the days one time we're going at it. Dad had just bought from the Sears and Roebuck Company a brand new recliner and a lamp with a little stand on the side of it like that. It was built in where you could sit in your recliner, put your coffee there, and watch TV. Now, that's high living right there in Levant. And so Floyd and I got to fighting, and we crashed into that lamp and just destroyed it. They hadn't had that a day. It was brand new. Dad comes home from work. It didn't go well. He said, you're not allowed in the living room, my brother and I, for 1 year. That's where the TV was. I doubt he held us to the year. A year's a long time as a kid, but it was a long time. It seemed like a year. It would have been months, but it doesn't matter. I lived. We deserved it. I'm just saying, if you're laying down the law on something, and if I came to Dad a week later and said, Dad, I want to watch my favorite show, he might want to say yes, but he can't. He has to say no. And when you come to God Almighty and you've been in the hot tub with Juanita, and you say, Lord, I want, I want, I want, I want, he's going to look at you and say, not a chance. I can't bless your life right now. You're too busy having an affair on me, you adulterer or adulteress, as James chapter 4 and verse 4 says. I'm telling you, Christian, we are called to a life of holy living. And what the world has to offer has nothing in comparison to Jesus Christ. And shame on us when we want to go out there and do what the world is doing, come back to church on Sunday and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. What we should be singing is, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. Number one, how's the affair going? I have never seen an affair that went well, ever. And I've seen my share of them. And it always goes poorly. I've never seen one, well, that worked well. No, it doesn't. And I'll tell you what, you're fooling around with the world. Breaking God's rules, breaking God's laws is not going well. And you're missing out on God's blessings. Juan, how's the affair going? Number two, it's A, B, C, D. Verses 9 and 10 says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. The word is catharsis. And there's something that is required, that God requires. When you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, if you're truly saved, there was a recognition in your life that what you are doing is not working, that you are a sinner on your way to hell, and you needed to agree with God that what you were doing was wrong. Did you hear me? A lot of times now we come to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, come into my heart and be my Savior. I want to go to heaven when I die. Then you're not saved. Salvation requires recognition of your sinfulness. I am a sinner. Say that with me. I am a sinner. And sad to say, there are Christians, or what they think are Christians, in churches today, believing what they believe, but never having truly repented. And what that requires is humbling ourselves before God Almighty and saying, you know what? In God's eyes, you are a dirty, rotten, filthy scum that is not all wonderful. Our current president, who I am a fan of, that may not be popular, I am. They're trying to hit him up on certain things. Every time they ask him a question, it's not because they truly want to know. They want to bury him in his defense. But he was asked one time, have you ever asked for forgiveness? And his response was, well, I never knew of anything I needed forgiveness for. I'm sorry, but there's no way he meant that. There's no way, but he's just cranking them. And there's a part of me, hon, that does the same thing, isn't there? So I'm sorry, I have a certain appreciation for that. Having said that, sad to say, you know, there are actually people with that kind of pride that will refuse to admit that they're a sinner, that refuse to admit that they're not right with God, that will not humble themselves. And if that's the case, you're lost as a hound dog headed for hell. And you can get before God and say, Lord, I thought I knew you. Haven't we done all these things? Look at all the things I did in church. I was an usher. I taught Sunday school. He's going to look at you and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's what the Bible says. I hope that's no one here, but it will happen. Christ said it would. Number one, how's the affair going? Two, be afflicted. Every now and then, we need to be crushed by our own personal sin. Saying, God, what have I done? What have I done? I've hurt you. I've wronged you. I've been unfaithful to you. What have I done? And I personally know what it's like to receive forgiveness when I did not deserve it. And there's nothing more humbling than that. But the Bible says, be afflicted and mourn. And I'll tell you what, we love to come to church and laugh. But every now and then, there needs to be a big crying session in church where we recognize that, you know what, we serve a holy God. And we've not been living the life that is pleasing to Him. And there needs to be a few more tears on the altar from sorrow than from joy. Say, Stan, this message isn't making me feel good. You know what? Every now and then, we shouldn't come to church feeling better about ourselves. We ought to go home recognizing our own brokenness and realizing the only reason why we have joy in life at all is because of what Christ has done for me, not because of who I am or what I've done, but because He did that for me. I get to live a life of joy. And shame on us when we think we can have everything we want and God's still going to bless us. If you want power in your prayer life,
Let me tell you something. You need to be a child of God, number one. Number two, you need to be in a right relationship with God, and the affairs have to go. What's the affair look like? Well, I wrote down just some guesses, and I'm not good in this. It could be a relationship that is harmful. I want you to know, for instance, if you are having sex outside of marriage, it is wrong. It's not okay. I know the whole world is doing it. I want you to know that if you are spending time with someone that's not your husband or wife of the opposite sex, and it's no big deal and it's not that wrong, there's a good chance that it is wrong. You want to be careful. It could be a harmful relationship. It could be a behavior that perhaps you only do when no one's around. It can be a way that you treat someone that does not deserve it. It can be in the way that you put yourself before everyone else. It can be the way that you look at others and assume certain things about them that you don't even know to be true. Now, I've found Christians to be the most judgmental crowd you can come across. Isn't that awful? I don't believe in live and let live. There's a lot of behavior out in the world that needs to be confronted and told that it's wrong. But on the other hand, some people ought to just be loved. Some people ought to just, you know what? Not everybody can dress up in a suit and tie and look as good as I do. That's just, why do we have to judge folks on certain things that we assume we know what their heart looks like? Stop that. But on the other hand, you want to remember, Christian, man looks on the outward appearance. So it is very important that we do the best that we can, because that is how man judges us. But as a Christian, stop the judging. Let the Lord take care of that. Or it could be exactly what the Holy Spirit is telling you right now, and you hate to admit it. How's the affair going? I bet it's not going good. And it's time to be afflicted and mourn. There's two more points, but there are other Sundays. We're out of time this morning, but I'm telling you something. God loves you, and He wants to answer your prayers. And if your prayers are not being answered, it's not God's fault. Heavenly Father, I don't know how you've spoken to us today, but this is hard preaching. It's not popular. You told us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, it's from the world. And the world will pass away, and all of those things with it. But you said, he that does the will of God abides forever. God, I pray that you would confront us. Work with us. You said, if you don't chastise us, then we're illegitimate children. So I guess we have to ask for the spanking, if that's what's required, so that our prayer life can be what it needs to be. Thank you for the Word of God, for gospel preaching church, for folks that like to hear the truth. I pray this morning that as we open our altars, you said, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. So we have to show some movement on our part. I pray this morning we'd move, talk to you, be right with you. Because if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just, and you will forgive us. But repentance is required. God, I pray that we would be a holy church right before you, so that you can bless the Cornerstone Baptist Church. Thank you for this time. Lord, if there are folks here that have never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive my sins, I pray that they'd say that right now, this morning, so that they could be a child of God. For whatever else you want from us, I pray that every person would respond to the invitation as you are speaking to them this morning. We love you. You are worthy of everything that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.